Thank you, Madam Chair, and Madam President Schneider, Madam Chair Cook, members of the head table, and my distinguished guests, members from the Taiwanese community here in San Antonio, high school students who are kind enough to come to my presentation today. A wonderful good day to you all first. Well, I'm usually not so nervous, but this being the World Affairs Council, since you are so prestigious, it also makes me more nervous. Since coming to Houston, I have visited this beautiful city of San Antonio at least 5 times. Every time it gives me great pleasure and happiness to come see your beautiful city. I think I earned my turn to speak at the World Affairs Council because I have been making similar presentations in all 5 states that I service here in southern USA, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Texas. This is probably the 12th presentation I've been making about my beloved country, Taiwan. And I'm happy to be finally coming to share with the members of the World Affairs Council of San Antonio about Taiwan. My job, you know, at the TECO office in Houston, as I just shared with our former president, Auro, that we, you know, process passports, visas, authentication of documents, you know, and keep in good touch, in good relationship with all 5 states. And it is to my, honor and pleasure that all 5 southern states have been very friendly and supportive of the Republic of China and Taiwan, especially this great state of Texas. So I want to thank you all for being so kind and supportive of my country. My job today is to share you more about Taiwan. And as the Madam Chair just mentioned, that I would tell you something about what's going on between Taiwan and mainland China and what's that going to be doing for the three-way relationship between Republic of China and Taiwan, People's Republic of China on the mainland, and USA. Today's presentation will be of 5 parts. Okay. Some Taiwan facts and Taiwan's economy, and then U.S.-Taiwan economic relationships. Then I'll talk about cross-strait relationship, cross-strait meaning cross-Taiwan Strait. And then viable diplomacy, what we have been doing in terms of international relationships. And then the current affairs, the East China Sea Peace Initiative, a topic, an issue that is currently quite discussed in the Asian Pacific area, if not including USA. Well, let me first start with the first item, Taiwan facts and economy. We have 3 high school represented here, and if I would ask the capital city of Taiwan, I am sure, and I'm afraid, and I hope not, that our students here would say Bangkok. It's not Bangkok. If you take Taiwan for Thailand, and it is easy to take Taiwan for Thailand, everybody is not to blame for that, because even our people in Taiwan, we don't recognize a lot of countries' names either. Saudi Arabia and the UAE is already confused, always confused in Taiwan. Belize and Belgium in Chinese names are always confused in Taiwan. One is Belize, that's Belgium. The other is Belize for Belize. So when I was going to serve in Belize in 1999, my friend in Taiwan said, "Oh, good, I have some friends in Russell." Yeah. So you know how easy it is for people to confuse country names, right? But Taiwan, officially Republic of China, is now a sovereignty state of 14,000 square miles, roughly 36,000 square kilometers, with a population of almost the size of this state of Texas. We have 23.25 million people. The country is so small, it is only the size of Rhode Island, or 1/19th of Texas, 1/11 of California, 1/7 of Washington State. I served in those states, so I knew. But if you consider that we are only 1/3 arable, 2/3 very high mountains, as high as almost 12,000 feet tall, then you know that Taiwan really have very scarce resources. We import almost 99% of all our fossil fuels. So that small square footage, mileage of Taiwan with such big population, but if you look at our GDP now, in 2011, we don't have last year's figure yet, it was at $504 billion U.S. dollars, making it the 23rd largest economy of the world. 23 does not sound big to us. However, if you consider that there are 190-some countries within United Nations and some other district, you know, which are not countries, then there are more than 200 political entities in the world. If you consider that, and if you consider what we just touched, the size and the population of Taiwan, then we would think that to rank number 23 in terms of economy in the world is not bad at all, right? So we're 23, but if you pair it with purchasing power, meaning how capable the people of Taiwan are able to spend their money, then we rank number 19th in the world, ahead of even Japan and Korea. Yeah. However, without a membership in United Nations, we left United Nations in the year 1971 because United Nations gave the seat to mainland China, People's Republic of China, that year. And since that year on, Taiwan, the Republic of China, has been without a UN membership. Okay, and we lost all UN-related specialty agencies membership, like WHO, World Bank, IMF, UNESCO, you name it. We lost all membership in those agencies. So we are literally an orphan in the international community from that point on. You don't get to enjoy the firsthand resources from those organizations. With UNESCO, you understand that countries like Vietnam, the Philippines, they can get a lot of UN education funds or scholarships. Not Taiwan, and so on. With WHO, you don't get firsthand health and medical related information since that point on, because you left WHO. So if there is a pandemic or a serious flu, like bird's flu, like SARS in 2003, we were the last country to be notified. So in the year 2003, already more than 70, 80 people died in Taiwan before we were notified of the outbreak of SARS indirectly by CDC USA. Thank you for that. But we are only a member of UN-related agencies such as Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, World Trade Organization, and the Government Procurement Agreement, GPA, under WTO. I'll tell you more about that later. And then, after years of hard work, we finally were invited to participate in World Health Assembly in Geneva. That's the annual meeting under World Health Organization. We were finally invited to be an observer since the year 2009. Okay, so only member of these, not even handful of international organizations. That's how awkward Taiwan is in the international arena. At this moment, we are pursuing to be a member of TPP, the Trans-Pacific Strategic Economic Partnership. You see that figure there, within 10 years, and it makes you wonder why any given country, if it wants to be a member of an international organization, would take a jiffy, maybe a couple of months, a year or so. Why would Taiwan have to take 10 years to be TPP? Again, it proves how awkward Taiwan is. As an economic giant, but a political dwarf, you know, in the international community. Okay. Now, the next page here, I'm going to share with you some. Is that the next page? For sure? Yeah. Okay, yeah, right. Okay, now I'm going to share with you more about the economic factors of Taiwan. If you look at this chart, you see, as scarce, you know, of natural resources as we have in Taiwan, and in the years after 1949, after World War II, and after the retreat from the government from mainland China to Taiwan, after we lost the seat of the government to the communists in 1949, Taiwan had to start from relics. Mind you, from the year 1895 to 1945, Taiwan was given to Japan. So it was Japanese colony, Japanese territory. So you would know during World War II, since USA was at war with Japan after Pearl Harbor, the Allied, you know, Air Force would bombard Taiwan because it was Japanese territory. So after World War II, we had to start from relics. Taiwan was heavily bombed. And you know, but you know, albeit that, you know, humble start, we were still, and remember, a lack of UN membership after 1971, we have been able to maintain our average economic growth at relatively high rate. You know, year 1952 to 2007 at 6.59, and the year 2011, mind you, after 2008, there was this recent round of international financial crisis. And, you know, even for that financial crisis, we, you know, were still able to maintain our economic growth at 4.04. Well, income per capita income, you see, in the year 1952, after World War II and after the fall of China to the communists, the Taiwanese people at that time was 6 million plus 2 million who moved from mainland China to Taiwan with General Chiang Kai-shek. So 8 million people of Taiwan in the year 1952, every one of them, I wasn't born yet, so I said them, only had about 50 cents to spend a day, right? If you look at $196 by 365 days, that's 50 cents a day. That poor. But because of the good policies and hard work of the people, good policies by the government of the Republic of China during those years, and the emphasis on education, we were able to make it to 17,294 in the year 2007, and furthermore, more than 20,000 in the year 2011. That's all because of the emphasis of education, hard work of the people, and good policy of the government. But one more thing, and I would never forget to mention this, and I was just talking with Madame Chair, you know, Cook, that we owe a lot to this great country, United States of America, because from the years 1960 on, our students had nowhere to go but USA for further study, not England, not Canada, not Australia, but United States of America. You were so generous to accept our students, help educate our students, and in the years 1980 on, a lot of them were sent back to Taiwan, or we recruited them back to Taiwan to start our high-tech industry. After our development, before those years, from light industry to, you know, mid heavy industry to high tech industry. So because of that, we were able to create this, what the world referred to as economic miracle. But we owe that much to the United States of America. Thank you for your generosity. So Taiwan could have achieved what we have. Well, foreign trade wide, look at the year 1952. Only a mere 0.3 billion. That's 30 million. My wife always say, don't say 0.3. Americans don't listen to, you know, decimals like that. Just say 30 million. Yeah, okay, 30 million in the year 1952, but in the year 2007, it's a whopping growth to 460 billion. And then the year last year before last, 589 billion US dollars. That's what we say, you know, number 23rd economy in the world. At this moment, I would like to mention again, thank you to the United States of America. After we left United Nations 1971, we literally have nobody else to help us. But USA kept helping us, you know, for many years on, and we pride ourselves to be the best students of the U.S. value system. Look around the world. A lot of countries would receive USA's financial help, technological help, for years, 20 years, 30 years, and still stay put, or even stay backward. I won't mention any country's names. It's not bad for diplomats to do that, but you know, it happens. However, in the case of Taiwan, we're such good students of the American value system, economic system, we were able to make it, you know, to such an achievement in those short years, almost less than a half century. Well, let's look at FDI. You know, in those years, foreign direct investment to Taiwan, because of lack of confidence, because of the relationship between Taiwan and mainland China in those years, business investors feared that if they went to Taiwan, something wrong would happen, something bad would happen. What if mainland China wanted to bombard Taiwan or, you know, send army to Taiwan, right? So very few people were willing to invest in Taiwan. Even at this moment, 2011, there was only 38 billion US dollars foreign direct investment in Taiwan. And thanks to USA, United States still keeps the most direct investment in Taiwan. That shows how confident you are of my country, okay? How trustful you are of Taiwan. However, that 33 billion is small compared to, at this moment, 200 billion US dollars investment in mainland China by Taiwanese businessmen in mainland China. I'll tell you more about that development later. Okay. Foreign exchange reserve, that's something we take great pride in. In the year 1952, you see only 34 million US dollars, but in the year 2011, we ranked number 4 in the world at 385 billion US dollars foreign exchange reserve. Number 1 now, mainland China at 3 trillion or so. Number 2, Japan at around a trillion. China has 3 trillion. Japan has around half trillion. Number 3, Russia at 48,000 billion, okay? And Taiwan is number 4 at, you know, 385 billion. It depends on the price of oil. If oil price goes up, then Russia is ahead of Taiwan. If oil price goes down, then we are ahead of Russia. So we go neck to neck. I believe the most recent figure exceeds that. Taiwan is at this moment close to 400 billion foreign exchange reserve. Okay, unemployment rate-wise, we have been able to keep it relatively low. Even after this round of financial crisis, we are still able to keep it at 4.39%. Unemployment rate. That's relatively comfortable. More about Taiwan's economy. If we just, you know, keep boasting, then it's not convincing. But if it is from our friends in the international community or world-renowned business magazines or institutes, then you see that in the year 2011, PERI, ranked Taiwan in investment environment, as number 3 in the world. The same year's IMD ranking of global competitiveness ranked Taiwan as world's number 6, up to not just that year. And then for the year 2011 and 2012, the World Economic Forum ranked Taiwan 13th in the world in terms of global competitiveness. Now, these numbers, again, as I said, They are not number 1, but Who is Taiwan to be number one in the world, right? We are number one in many items, in many high-tech items, computer-related items. But, you know, to rank number six or number 13 in competitiveness is not bad. In terms of the U.S.-Taiwan economic partnership, again, as I said, USA has been the most generous country to Taiwan for the past half century. Because of that, we are still number 10th largest trading partner with the USA. And then with 15th largest U.S. export market, this last item on the left side shows we are the largest per capita importer of U.S. farm products. You see, there are 23 million people of Taiwan. I'll give you one example. Whatever we eat every day, the 23 million people of Taiwan, one-third is imported from USA. That's how much we like American farm products. I worked in Seattle, so I knew we have to be the biggest apple eater of Washington apples. Not Canada, not Mexico, not Japan, not Korea. Taiwan, number one apple eaters of Washington apple. Number two cherry importer from Washington State. I worked there, so I knew. And we bought a lot of Boeing planes. However, now that I'm in Texas, we buy a lot of fighter jets, F-16s, right? And we have the biggest investment of $8 billion in Point Comfort Lavaca by Formosa Plastics, generating only 65% of Calhoun County's tax revenue. That's what makes us proud as a friend of USA, as a way to reciprocate your kindness, your generosity. And USA, until 2012, was Taiwan's third largest trading partner. It used to be our largest trading partner, but our largest trading partner now goes to mainland China. I'll tell you more about that. We could not avoid that, although it is a very complicated relationship. Number three largest export market for Taiwan. Thank you for loving Taiwan products. And then USA is Taiwan's largest source of FDI, as I shared with you just now. The total trade between USA and Taiwan in the year of 2011 was $67.2 billion. Well, again, considering the size and the population of Taiwan, that's a big figure already. You won't compare that with the current trade total between USA and mainland China. The current trade total between USA and mainland China is much, much, much bigger than this. But Taiwan is only 1/50th the size of mainland China. And then if you compare the population of 23 million versus 13 billion, then you say, 67 billion is quite big, right? There you go. This figure would give us some idea of how Taiwan is doing in terms of trade and innovation. You see, out of our population and size, we received 9,907 patents issued from United States of America, okay, ranking only after big industrial countries as Japan, Germany, and South Korea. We are ahead of these countries following Canada, France, UK. You read faster than I. Okay. All right. In the year 2011, now let's talk about this state now that we are in Texas. 2011 saw Taiwan as number 13th trading export market for the state of Texas. And then from 2009 to 2011, there was a 41% growth of export from this great state to Taiwan. This state's exports to Taiwan in the year 2011 was at $3.6 billion. We love Texas. In Taiwan, there are a lot of Texas products, Texas Instrument. In fact, the biggest high-tech company in Taiwan, TMC, the chairman, Morris Chang, used to work for Texas Instruments. Our investment here in Texas is, are big. I just mentioned Formosa Plastics. We have more in terms of the city of Houston, the Taiwanese community in Houston. Altogether, the hotel and motel owners own 7,000 hotel rooms in Houston, 6 banks in Houston. In Dallas, a lot more investments in Dallas. In Austin, I recently found out that out of American cities, Austin ranked number 7 as a city doing high-tech business with Taiwan. Austin, number 7 among all U.S. cities. Of course, with this beautiful city of San Antonio, we have our former mayor, Hardenberger, there, and we thank him for introducing Taiwan's Numinarius Festival to USA, right? And then the 5,000 years of jade exhibit in our museum here in San Antonio. I believe there are a lot of tourism business opportunities for Taiwanese to come enjoy your beautiful city of San Antonio. Hear more about Taiwan's investment in USA in Point Comfort, as I just mentioned, an $8 billion investment for the past 20 years. Nanya, Southern Asia, that's what the Chinese name means, Nanya Plastics, investing all that money in Port Lavaca. And in Houston, yeah, we have these more investments. I just shared with you something, you know, 5 Taiwanese banks, 6 including Central Bank, which is headquartered in Dallas, but the chairperson is in Houston. And then, you know, hotel, motel owners altogether own 7,000 rooms in Houston. Okay, in Dallas, VIA Technologies, and recently a $20 million investment coming to Dallas area January, this month, Wintrom Company, which is processing used computers in Dallas area. There's room for more for San Antonio. Yeah, and I believe that must be for tourism and cultural area because you pride yourself so much of the richness of culture and tourism resources of this beautiful city. And since Taiwan became number 37th country in the world to enjoy VWP since November, meaning our nationals can now come to visit this beautiful country without visa, then many more tourists would come to USA. And already two travel agencies are putting together packages to see Texas for 10 days. 10 days. And one of the program is to see Jeremy Lin play basketball because he's from Taiwan. I hate to mention that we have a strong team here, the San Antonio Spurs. However, part of the package is for Taiwanese to come see Jeremy Lin play basketball and then to see Texas in general and altogether 10 days. It never happened. It only happened this year on. Okay, so I hope a lot of them would come to San Antonio. Now, let's talk about, because time is of the essence. I can't keep talking. We have to share something about the cross-strait relationship between Taiwan and mainland China. Before the year 2008, if you remember, at previous administration, DPP, Democratic Progressive Party, when they were in power, they took up a more antagonistic approach, between Taiwan and mainland China. You know why? Because some of the Taiwanese people are for eventual independence of Taiwan. Some are for eventual reunification with mainland China. Madam Chair Cook mentioned the complexity of the relationship between Taiwan and mainland China. If we put the political tendencies on a spectrum, 6 to 8% of Taiwanese would want Taiwan independent right away, no matter what, even if they have to lose their heads today, okay, 6 to 7%. 6 to 7% of Taiwanese people would say, reunify with mainland China right today, no matter what, okay? If they have to lose everything, they want reunification, 6 to 8%. So that takes away 14 to 16% of our population, leaving about 84% of the population that says, well, let's remain status quo, okay? That's the great majority, Now, out of that great majority, still 6 to 8% of Taiwanese says independent, you know, a status quo, but gradual independence of Taiwan. 6 to 8% of the majority of the 80-some percent says status quo, but eventual reunification with mainland China. If you take away those, that leaves only 64% or so, still majority, more than 50% of our people who say, status quo, and I won't tell you what. Let Taiwan remain status quo, and we'll go, wait and see. Okay, that's what we call true majority of the Taiwanese people. We want status quo. We want Taiwan to be Taiwan for as long as we can be because we share your value system, not the communist system. They have to change. Until they totally change, we won't say what we want. So help us, you know. We want F-16 CD to safeguard democracy and freedom and, you know, human rights and freedom of speech, respect of gender, and so on and so on, until one day that things have totally changed. Okay, so after the year 2008, when KMT under President Ma Ying-jeou came to power, he said, well, there are many ways to skin a cat. There are many ways to keep the relationship between Taiwan and mainland China. So instead of fighting with them all day long, digging each other's diplomatic camp, we would steal one country from their camp for diplomatic relationships. They would steal two from our camp right the next month. So what's the good of that? Both sides are wasting money doing what people refer to as checkbook diplomacy or money diplomacy. USA doesn't like it. Australia doesn't like it. Nobody likes it, you know, and it puts everybody in a nervous situation. So President Ma Ying-jeou says, hey, let's shelve differences and work for win-win solutions. So from 2008 until now, we both sides were willing to sit down and talk through white gloves, representatives of the government, not official talks, okay? White gloves, we call them. Eight rounds of talks had, you know, been conducted, reaching 18 agreements. All have to do with well-beings of both sides of the Taiwan Straits. Direct air link. You used to have to fly from Taiwan to China via Hong Kong or Tokyo or any third country or place, just short of direct. Okay. Now, and it would take 2 to 3 days from Taipei to Guangzhou or Shanghai or Beijing because you have to overnight in Hong Kong or Tokyo. Now, the same trip would only take you 2 hours, 2.5 hours, or 3 hours. See how much money, energy, you know, it saves for everybody. So direct air link. At this moment, there are more than 600 direct flights between Taipei and more than 16 major cities in mainland China. A ticket is hard to get to go between Taiwan and mainland China now, okay? Direct air link, direct postal link, direct ocean freight link, food and pharmaceutical safety screening, you know, and then protection of, money laundering, fighting money laundering, you know, financial measurements. And then we're setting up financial institutes in Taiwan and in mainland China for businessmen. Okay, so all these agreements are meant for the well-beings. Among them is the joint venture in fighting crime. Now, that takes the police, the law enforcement of Taiwan, and the law enforcement of mainland China to work together. And you would think it would be very hard for law enforcement on either side to work with each other because we were enemies, literally. Why would the police work together? But to everybody's surprise, that agreement has worked the best so far. They help us catch, you know, criminals and send them back to Taiwan. We do the same. That proves one thing. Everybody hates criminals. Right? It doesn't have to do with political ideology. If you're a criminal, you deserve to face justice. That's it. Okay, so 18 agreements. having to do with well-beings of the people of both sides of Taiwan Strait. But the most important agreement now is the agreement of ECFA, Economic Cooperation Framework Agreement, reached in 2010, June 29th. With that, Taiwan can now sell 539 items, industrial products, consumer goods, to mainland China at zero customs duty. It used to be Taiwanese business, companies, investors have to pay 7 to 9% customs duty selling goods to mainland China. Now, zero, 539 items. You all want to know which items they are, because there are opportunities for American businessmen in general and San Antonio businessmen in particular to take advantage of that for joint venture. Japanese are already doing that. For 20 years, Japanese businessmen stopped investing in Taiwan, but after ECFA was signed 2010, a handful of Japanese companies have gone back to Taiwan to set up manufacturing facilities, in multi-million dollar facilities in Taiwan for the Chinese market to take advantage of the zero customs duty advantage. Okay, so because of that, we also opened up tourist market for mainland Chinese tourists. And we never used to accept mainland Chinese to come sightseeing in Taiwan for fear that they would send 10 million to Taiwan overnight. No, I'm just kidding. But now we welcome them. Year before last, in the year 2010, 1 million came to Taiwan. 2011, 1.6 million tourists from China came to Taiwan. Last year, 2 million. Okay, by the year 2016, we are looking at 10 million tourists to Taiwan a year. Mind you, we have only 23 million population. We'll be happy to accommodate 10 million tourists. That's almost half our population. But a lot of them would be coming from mainland China. Now, at one presentation, after I said that, I got a question from the audience saying, hey, we understand that the mainland Chinese tourists are very noisy, and they are not that good in keeping social order. So what do you think? I said, well, to tell you the truth, we, the Taiwanese, started to go abroad for sightseeing in 1979 to Europe, to USA, to all the countries. And, businesses in Europe, Switzerland, they want to sell our tourists Rolex watches, okay? So they hire Taiwanese-speaking sellers. Even that. But after our tourists bought their products, they say, oh, the Taiwanese tourists are very noisy and, they talk very loud. I said, that's 30 years ago. Now, we are welcoming the mainland Chinese tourists to Taiwan, and they're noisy. So what shall we do? We share what we learned from the Western world with the mainland Chinese visitors so that someday they'll learn. When they see how orderly we are at our metro system, we all stand in line and the subway is so clean, nobody talks, nobody eats, they are surprised. They say, why? How can the Taiwanese do that? They'll learn, okay? During the day, they all go sightseeing, but once the sun goes down, the mainland Chinese tourists likes to do one thing the most. They all retreat to their hotel rooms, turn on their TV, and watch talk shows. Because Taiwanese talk shows now, everybody can criticize anybody else. They can criticize President Ma Ying-jeou to their heart's content. Nobody would mind. So the mainland Chinese would watch those programs and learn freedom of speech. So that's what I say. It's not bad. If we welcome more mainland Chinese tourists to Taiwan, one day, sooner or later, we will give them very good influence and hope that everybody would live, as freely, as respectfully as everybody else in the Western world. Okay. So as a result of that, mainland China and Taiwan are no longer at loggerheads to a certain extent. Everything is not yet rosy. Mind you, they still face 1,500 missiles at Taiwan 24 hours a day, and we don't like it. We don't like it at all, but we are not going to keep shouting and yelling every day. As we said, we are willing to wait and do business first. Might as well enjoy business, let both sides, you know, develop economy, and let the Western world and Taiwan influence the mainland Chinese as much as possible. So hope that someday everything would come to term. And as a result of that, Taiwan has become a peacemaker instead of a troublemaker. Because before 2008, Taiwan, you know, would cause trouble in the international community by going against mainland China so much. And since USA would like to keep peace and keep cooperation with mainland China, you know, if we are at war with mainland China, it in turn indirectly irritates our friends here in the United States of America. So as much as former President Bush Jr. likes Taiwan, he even complimented Taiwan as a beacon of democracy, not only for Asia, but for the world in the year 2004 or something, when we had our presidential election. As much as he liked Taiwan, afterwards, when we were causing all those troubles, President Bush had to say, Taiwan, you're a troublemaker, you know. But after 2008, after all these talks and agreements, we are now a peacemaker rather than a troublemaker. We have given that title to a certain country in Northeast Asia, and you know who that is. Yeah. Now, after the signing of ECFA, all these good things would happen to Taiwan. GDP grows, exports grows, imports grows, employment grows, social welfare grows, total production grows. You can read faster than I. Yeah. If both sides eliminate trade and tariffs, you know, after the signing of ECFA, Taiwan makes more money, saves more money than mainland China. We save $13.8 billion in customs duty, and mainland China would save $2.8 billion. That's because they can only sell a half number of products to Taiwan at zero customs duty. We sell 539 to China. They can sell 238 to Taiwan at zero customs duty because they're so big. We have still, you know, be reserved in terms of some markets, and they're willing. Mainland China is willing. Let's say farm products, agricultural products, vegetables. They have low labor. They have a lot of land. They can grow in Fujian province, which is only a couple of hours by, you know, ocean freight to Taiwan. If they sell us all their produce, Taiwan's agricultural products market, vegetable products market, would be wiped out in 1 month. So mainland China says no, they are willing to hold on maybe for 10 years. White-collar employment market, they have much more graduates from colleges or graduate students in mainland China. If we accept them right today, they're going to wipe out our college graduates right next month. So they say, well, they're willing to, you know, wait. So with that, mainland China says they are willing to yield, Y-I-E-L-D, yield interest to Taiwan. We say, no, it's still, you know, fair competition. Okay, so because of that, we can save more in terms of tariff money, almost five times. Okay, and the export growth for both sides would go $120 billion for Taiwan and $42 billion for mainland China. That's how good the signing of ECFA is. And it is not just good for Taiwan and mainland China. It's a multi-way beneficial arrangement, right? You see, there are opportunities for all business sectors in the world if you take advantage of Taiwan as your gateway into mainland China. Because we know them culturally, language-wise, or professionally. Because Taiwan's CPAs and attorneys are of the same standard as USA. Intellectual property protection-wise, we are the best in terms of doing business with mainland China. So instead of going from here directly to Beijing or Shanghai to deal with them, it's easier to go through a triangle, through Taiwan. You go into a joint venture with a Taiwanese CPA or law firm, it'll save you time and trouble in doing business with mainland China. Okay. Next. Goal for next round of cross-strait talk is to do these two things. Loosen restrictions, you know, on investment from mainland China to Taiwan. We're going to welcome more investment from mainland China to Taiwan, okay? You know, and to further open borders to mainland students and free independent travelers. We are going to welcome more tourists from mainland China with the purpose to influence them faster, in a quicker fashion, in a bigger amount. And then to promote the establishment of administrative offices in each other's territory. So we'll set up offices in both sides. Taiwan would set up offices in mainland China. Mainland China would be welcome to set offices in Taiwan. You know, unofficial offices, because at this moment, there's still no political talk between Taiwan and mainland China. We don't want to do that yet, okay, for fear that once we sit on the table to talk political items, they would just eat us up. Right now, okay. So no political talk, still, and we still need a lot of support and help from our friendly countries, especially this great country, the United States of America. You know, the U.S. Congress. We have a lot of good friends in the U.S. Congress that who are aware of the situation, who are keeping a sharp eye on the developments between Taiwan and mainland China so that nothing wrong would happen. Bad things would not happen too quickly, and hope that all good things happen between Taiwan and mainland China. And our interests, everybody's interests, would be safeguarded. Okay. Well, I've talked about the relationship between Taiwan and mainland China. All in all, we are on the right direction, although everything is not yet perfect. And that's all because of the viable diplomacy conducted by my government through President Ma Ying-jeou. You know, he denounced the, you know, so-called scorched diplomacy, taken by the previous administration, because the previous administration wanted to provoke mainland China, you know, by setting fire on their diplomatic camp, you know, trying to steal a country or two from their camp. So it is referred to as scorched diplomacy by themselves, by the former administration, and checkbook diplomacy. But instead of that, we are now doing viable diplomacy to make it more flexible, more substantive, instead of just wasting money to the political leaders of small countries. You know, here you are, a check of $5 million, and you can do whatever you want. No more like that. No more after 2008. We would tell our allies, small countries like the one I served as ambassador, Tuvalu, we would say, hey, we would help you build a 500-ton fishing boat, hiring your own fishermen to catch fish in your vast ocean territory, and at the end of the day, at the end of the year, if you make $5 million, keep four at home. You know, only give one to the company in Taiwan that loan you money to build the ship, okay? Or whatever money for the mortgage payment, you keep the rest at home. That way, they no longer have to ask Taiwan for pocket money, because they're making money themselves. That's what we say, helping people to fish rather than giving them fish. So we have been doing that since the year 2008 to our countries with diplomatic ties, and we call it viable diplomacy. And because of that, the international community has liked Taiwan, has respected Taiwan, has trusted Taiwan so much that they now welcome our people to visit their countries without having to go through trouble obtaining visas. 131 countries welcoming Taiwan. And those countries, 98% of those 131 countries are countries where you want to visit and visit again. Okay? I'm sorry to mention this. Mainland China has only 20 countries giving them visa waiving status. 20. Okay? And those are countries that you probably won't like to visit. With no offense. It is just a reality. Okay? So Taiwan at this moment is so respected and welcomed. And the most recent one is this great country, the United States of America. As I said earlier, we became your number 37th country in the world, number 7th country in Asia and Pacific to enjoy this. So more and more Taiwanese now can come without visa. You see what it means to us? A typical family of four in southern Taiwan, if they want to come to USA, they'll have to come to Taipei, apply for an interview. You wait days and weeks for an interview. At the day of the interview, on the day of the interview, you have to show up as early as possible to stand in queue. You want to be in the first spot, not 250th spot, okay? So everybody goes early. A typical family of four will have spent, including visa money, of $140 per visa. A family would spend $4,000, $5,000 before they set their feet on a plane. Now, no more. 3 minutes on computer to apply. It takes 3 minutes. Okay? And then $14 processing fees. That's all. Then you can come to USA. It's that convenient. So, you know, we are the 37th country in the world now. Okay? I have to rush. So, with viable diplomacy now, we got compliments from U.S. departments and the White House saying that Taiwan is doing so well in terms of democratic development, free trade, freedom of speeches, you know, that USA is willing to extend VWP to Taiwan. So with that, more Taiwanese are coming to visit USA, and whoever or whichever business take advantage of that will benefit. Okay. Now, here, something good for San Antonio is going to happen because of that. And then, well, I won't trouble you too long with this. We want to be, an observer for two more international organizations, UNFCCC and ICAO. And we're already getting support from U.S. government and Congress in support of ICAO, not yet UNFCCC. Okay. Now, the most recent item, the Diaoyutai Island in the East China Sea area. It's such small islands that nobody paid attention to before 1970. But after 1970, allegedly, they found oil reserve in that area. So everybody rushed to it. Japan wants it. Mainland China wants it. But it's 90 nautical miles from Taiwan, 400 nautical miles from Japan, much farther away from mainland China. Although it is historically Chinese territory, in those days, nobody paid attention to it. Now everybody wants it. My president, Ma Ying-jeou, is saying, well, we have undoubted ownership of those islands, but we cannot prevent anybody from saying they're theirs. So the best way is as proposed by President Ma Ying-jeou. Here, five. Refrain from taking any antagonistic actions, shelve controversies and not abandon dialogues, to observe international law and resolve disputes through peaceful means, seek consensus on a code of conduct in East China Sea. And the last item is the most welcome item. Establish a mechanism for cooperation on exploring and developing resources in the East China Sea, namely to jointly develop business opportunities, if there is any business opportunities there at all, my president is proposing that everybody sit down and talk and work together instead of fighting each other. And let's hope it'll work that way. Well, thank you for your patience. I wish I could talk more. Thank you.